to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Lord, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Look around and see each other and see that's where God lives. Amen. So we'll understand, won't we? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your Bible, turn to Genesis 2, and then we'll go to Hebrews 11. Genesis 2, Hebrews 11. Remember the Valentine banquet starting Saturday, making sure, try to get everybody to get lined up to where they can. 4 o'clock, we'll get started, and then we'll eat later, you know, as we go along. So you've heard the announcements and all this. Pray that the Lord would give us good weather and good times and all he always has before. And we just thank you. We thank everybody for working, cleaning the bottom of the basement out of water again. It got back in. It was in the other day, and poor old Charlotte's had done, vacuumed it up and everything. And we got here in time enough then to help her clean up, but today, they were just too much for her, but we appreciate her doing her job and trying to help and all that was helping and all. And we're running, getting everything, getting it to going, because that's the way it is. We want to make sure we get everything right, okay? Any other announcements other than this banquet? Okay. Let's read our scripture then from Genesis 2. Now, this is going to be a very odd message. I warn you up front, it's going to be very, very odd. And all because I've had 2 weeks or three to just ponder what I'm talking about. My wife said the other day, she said, "You just haven't been studying like you've been." I said, "Well, what do? I just go in and sit down and read my notes." I said, "I get up and go back out. Next day, I go in, sit down and read my notes. You know, add a few words, and next day I do the same thing." So I'm studying it. It'll run around. All right, Genesis 2. We'll start with verse 4. "These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens." Now, I want to say something to you. If you look at the scriptures and get them lined up right, it's perfect. But a lot of times it don't look perfect. Now, man was created on what day? 6th day. Yet if you read right above there, it looks like he's created on the 7th. Come on. And God blessed the 7th day and sanctified it and blessed his works and the things. But it's not, see? So don't get that in your mind. Say, "Well, it says 7th right there." No, because that's what it says here. "These are the generations." Now he's explaining the whole makeup of creation. He's not going day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4. See, if you look at it that way, it makes the Bible a whole lot more enjoyable. All right? "And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went out a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. You may be seated. We'll get to Hebrews 11 in a little bit. Well, go ahead. I'll just read it because you know what it is. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. All right? Now, as I said, it's going to be a very odd way, and that's my ways. I attempted to preach on this the layout some year or two ago, and it didn't seem to line up, you know. So you wait until you find out and everything, and you find out, well, you know, like Sister Frieda said, it needed to wait for her, so okay, that's all right. But see, when you take something and you read it and you're looking for God to speak to you about the Word and how perfect it is, and if you will, He'll speak to you. He'll show you. Like I said, it looks exactly like there in the creation, because it doesn't say man was created on the sixth day. It looks like he was created on the seventh day. So you say, well, I can prove it by the Bible. No. Because when you get over to there, then we read it and said, and there was no man to till the soil. You're already into the creation of all the things. So don't get discouraged when you things don't match up the way you think. Okay? Yeah. Best thing to do is just set it aside. If that don't set up real good, just set it aside and just pray, and every once in a while, go get that and read it, you know, and read it. And you'll see then one day it'll all just come into view, and God will perfectly line it up. All right. Now, here's my point. I've been asking you the question for quite a while, like I said, months ago, but mainly in the series, asking you the question of what does it mean when it says there that they without us could not be made perfect. All right? We go in and spend our time trying to decide whether the creation was this or the creation was that or the different, you know, or we go into the point of trying to figure out how we got to here and whatever and figuring out all is well and done. But the question is still, why does it say it? Now, you got to admit that it means what it says and says what it means. And without a prophet then to give us the definition, look where we would be. Okay? Now, but to say they without us cannot be made perfect. Now, here's the key if you'll listen. Okay, everybody wide awake. Now, what we've got to deal with to get an understanding and a lineup, and I don't care, I'll finish it Sunday, and the next Sunday wave's going to be gone. I'll have two then, and I ain't concerned about it. But listen, in Bible terminologies, now, if you can ever find something that was in existence, it can be replaced again or whatever you want to call it. Renewed, whatever you want to call the terminologies of words. All right? Now, then why would it say they without us? It seems to put a great emphasis upon the people, and we know according to the prophet that really the emphasis is placed upon the end time. All right? Amen. Now, I've been reading those things and saying them, and see, it's dependent upon me and you. Right. And there's a reason for that. It's very valuable in terminologies of the Bible, and it's laid out so perfectly until it sealed away from the eyes of the wise and prudent, but revealed to babes, such as will learn. And if they, you know. But do you realize this whole thing came into being because God had a plan and a purpose? Is that the best way to state it and get started? Right on Christ revealed? No, not anyhow. God had a plan and a purpose that he was going to achieve. All right? Now, this is one statement I like of myself. I make it because you'll probably maybe find it in Brother Brown somewhere. But I'm making this as myself, so this is a quote from Brother Dale. That if I can find something in the Bible, I can depend upon that. You know. And I don't look at it like it was back there or over there or later. I look at it as the present tense because, remember, I've always tried to preach it that way. I always tried to preach the fact of trying to get you to see present tense right now. I am means ever present for eternity, right? So then, now here's the statement. Whatever the way that God started, he cannot change from that way. Now the prophet said there could be greater revelations added or more to the thing, but you can't, he said you can't add to the word. But he said as time goes along, things could develop a little, you know. But it won't add to the word. So if you can ever find in the word what your point is, then you can see, hey, maybe that's the way God wants it. Well, I just quoted it. The prophet said that God had a plan and a purpose that he was going to achieve. All right? Now, what we do cannot stop that plan and purpose. A pretty good inroad or an attack happened in the garden. Right? When Adam and Eve, but it didn't change God's plan. He never looked down and said, wait a minute now, they done that, so I've got to change my way. He knew that that was the way they were going to do it. And he knew exactly what he was going to do. That he wasn't going to have to prop it up and do anything. That he was going to just let them live out their lives. And then he would just step on the scene. Because remember now, as we cover with the prophet and been at it many, many years or what. God doesn't, a creation has no beginning. I mean, a new creation has no beginning and no ending. So you'd have to start anything back in eternal life, right? Or back before the foundation of the world, so that'd be the best way of saying back in eternity. So God back in eternity had a plan and a purpose. And he was going to see that achieved. Right? Now we think Adam and Eve throwed him a great big block or a great stumbling block to create the problem. I wish I'd have brought that other one. I was looking at it the other day. We're right around him. He's talking about you and I, and he said, don't you worry about it. He said, God knew exactly what we was going to do. Something to that degree, see. He knew exactly what we were going to do. So why didn't he run in and, you know, kill the devil and all of the things, and he'd wound up with Adam. Right? That would be where he'd wound up. You seeing that? He'd wind up with Adam. Him and Adam had still been in the garden. But he didn't deliberately make Adam and Eve do wrong. He made them perfect. Now, if you tell me he didn't, then we might as well just sit down and go home, because I'm not going to talk to you on that line. He made everything perfect. He might not have made it eternal in the beginning, but he made it perfect. All right? And God always has used examples. All the Old Testament is an example of the New Testament. All right? Then Brother Branham said on the message of serpent seed, he's talking about the creation, and he said, that pure, P-U-R-E, beginning. He's talking about the making of mankind and making, you know, he said, that pure beginning. Now listen, do you believe that God got a wedge strode at him or something? Or had problems doing that? Or do you believe he was just sitting back waiting on everything to take place? We think he went on vacation. You know, we use that statement as a point that he's not around. But I don't think so. I think he was there so close until it'd be, well... What I'm saying now, I'm trying to get something to you as a thought of why it says they without us cannot be made perfect. Adam was created perfect. Do you agree? Because God can't create something imperfect. The devil wasn't created imperfect. He was anointed cherub and stood beside the Lord. He could not be created something imperfect. God can't do that. All right, forgive me to have to take a cough drop or something, because every time I turn around today, he's trying his best to work me over. And I just laugh and say, I was standing there a while ago, just laugh and just, well, devil, we just get through this. It don't matter. No, you come on, do what you want to. You say, well, that's a poor example of a Christian. You're supposed to be positive. I'm positive. But what about you? Right? I'm very positive because, see, what I'm looking at, let me tell you, in one nutshell, let me just say, this is what will answer the question. Oh, without us, they cannot be made perfect. So whatever he created, he had to create it perfect. Now, that's the key to the whole thing. He had to create it perfect. He couldn't create it imperfect and then made it perfect. But he can, because he allows in his great mind and existence that as things goes along, he can come to positions that he can take that which is not perfect and make it perfect. He can do that. That's all right. But just remember, he won't change his word. If he wanted to be a healer, how was he going to get something to heal? If he wanted to be a savior, how was he going to get something to save? Right? So then he figures out his plan and purpose, and he starts it off perfect. But you know, it's kind of odd that the first creation of God was a man named Adam. All right? I was looking in there a minute ago just trying to pick it up, but somewhere Brother Brown said it like his. He said Adam was God's perfect son. I found a couple of others, but that's all right. See? Listen. Looking at Adam... Now, what does the Bible call him? It calls him the first Adam. 2 Corinthians or something in there. I've got the notes. Okay. Jesus Christ is the first Adam. Second, now come on, stay with me though. Listen. See, because your Creator was before the world. There's your real first Adam. Now, I'm just trying to get you to play with me a little bit and think about something. Maybe give you something to ponder for days. All right? So then we see it, as you said, when you come on over, all right? Adam is the first Adam. Okay, that's natural. But why does it say that Adam was flesh, and it says which came first? That was physical or that was spiritual in Corinthians? He said that was physical came first. Then that which was spiritual came later. Because see, God was going, he couldn't put Adam in the garden as a total perfect being. You're listening? He couldn't put him there as a total perfect being. Because how would he have got to be a savior? How would he got to be a healer? You realize that the fall didn't pull nothing over on God. It just made God a way to fulfill his original plan. Now, when you can look back and drive that anchor down, and you can stand there and look at it, there was the most marvelous creation in the world. God's own son. That was his first son. Jesus was his first begotten. Okay. That was his first son. Don't you think that he would put in and design, or whatever it is, that with all in mind that every son he had, he wanted it like that? No, Adam, be careful. See? God put into Adam what he wanted. He brought him exactly the way he wanted him. He wanted him that way, and he brought him that way. And let me tell you, before we even get started, that's the way it's going to wind up. If it don't wind up that way, we're all going to get old and go to the nursing homes and blur out of here and wait until death takes us. Well, we've been at it for 50 years, and that's what I'm telling you. But I'm telling you, and I don't back off, I was preaching this here 40 years ago, right here in this church, trying to get to do. Why do you think I don't go anywhere? Because, see, nobody wants to know what I'm talking about. Right? Well, they love me. That's Brother Dale. But tell me why I hadn't preached in none of these brothers and churches when they've ever one preached in this one. See, I'm not throwing no stones. I like it that way. It's made me left alone, and I don't have to argue with nobody. I don't have to be put into no camp. None of you ain't wrong old enough, but Sister Cleta and Larry and a few of them like that can remember when they'd say, "Who do you follow?" Long about to 68, 69, 70. What group are you in? I just say I'm in the bride. All right? And I ain't kidding you. I've been preaching that Jesus Christ was all in all Almighty God, and that he has laid out in the Word his example for us to follow to come to the place to where he's at. All right? So there you see Adam created in God's original plan. Now, I keep saying this because it's back to you. It's not me. I want you to know it's, I'm putting it back to you. Do you believe that Adam's plan was, I mean, God's plan was to bring Adam forth? If you don't, we need to just have a prayer line and pray for everybody. No joke. Huh? If you don't believe that God knew what he was going to do, you need to go back to a good Baptist church. Because they taught some of that. And probably still do. But what is it about Adam? Adam is to be God's total original plan. That everything that God wants, he put it into Adam. You say he wanted to fall? Come on, how long do I got to preach on it for you to realize you're prophets when it said this? I did. He said Satan didn't pull a thing over on God. He helped him fulfill his plan. Right? All right? Now, so whatever you have in the original is the example. Right? I mean, you don't start making a car and then you get over the middle of it, you know, and I ain't making cars, I'm just talking. You keep the original plan as long as it's selling, then you might change over. But what I'm getting at, car had corn, brakes, right? Steering wheel, every one of them. It may look entirely different, but it's a car, right? See, whatever you get, put it down and anchor that. Now, what I'm saying, I'll keep saying that tonight. Anchor this point. Whatever God wanted, Adam was ready. But he got hindered. But did that hinder God? So evidently God knew what he's going to do. Right? So then think about it. Was Adam created eternal? Now, I know we've had a lot of problems trying to explain this a long time ago, and it's been there, and I don't worry about it. I try again. I'm going to say it, but I'm going to back up. Adam had eternal life in his soul. We'll read that in a minute. But his body and his spirit was not eternal. Now, is that what God wants? Not to stay that way, but it evidently satisfies him for what he done, because he took it and used it. Get my point. To what we look for somewhere to begin this, look at that point and see what that point really is. And that point was a man that was a body, a spirit, and a soul. All right? But that wouldn't have been no good to just leave it like that. So God would not have created it like that. He didn't create Adam lost. He didn't even create Eve lost. Come on, I've been through this with you. If you didn't agree with me, you probably won't again, but don't worry about it. Brother Branham said Adam had eternal life, his soul. He said, especially into Adam. All right. And he said Eve was in Adam in theophany. Hebrew series, come on. Page 80 of the old book. So looks like what I'm getting at, looks like when God started this, he would have just said, oh, that Adam, that's who I want now. I want Adam, but I'm going to create him perfect. And he says, I'm going to give him eternal life. I'm going to put him in the garden, and I'm going to give him an eternal body and spirit and leave him in control in the body. I mean, in the garden. He said, oh yeah, I've got to get Eve in there. So I'll just put Eve into Adam because I done made my 6 days creating. Right? And he says, I'll just give him a helpmeet. But we know for certain that Adam was created body, spirit, and soul as a natural human being. That was God's plan and purpose. You say, how do you know it took place? You want to fuss? I'll just keep saying it back to you. It took place. Did you tell me what your problems are? Because you're not wanting to agree with the word being right. See, then when God created Adam, he didn't create him eternal. Because you can't create eternal. So now, what was Adam? Wait till I hold on here anyway. 126 and 27, jump into 28. Let us make man. All right. He made a special man. Adam's soul was eternal. I'll read it to you in a minute, okay? But he didn't create him eternal. He created him as a human being. Then he took the part that he had from the 126 and 27 man to let us and put that man into Adam's soul. Now, he's got what he wants. He's got a man that can help him fulfill his plans and purposes, not to just pass the garden and plow up stuff and replant. No, he's got a man that can help him now. So he can't never take away that eternal life. And we know he don't anyway, right? Okay, that ought to be settled. He can't take it away. So he knows once he gave or made that man, that whatever he done from their own would be an example. Now remember, your first beginning creation, whatever you want to use the terminologies, is what you want. That's your plan and purpose. It was not to, for God to create something that was, you know, that was eternal. So what was Adam? May I quote it? Adam was God in another form, called Adam. Now, may I sink it down? Okay, don't, everybody wait. Okay. What are you? If you are a child of God, you have eternal life in your soul. Is that eternal life a new creation? The Bible calls it that. But you know the correcting way of the prophet brought it not to correct the scriptures or anything, but he brought it to the truth. God began in Adam to impart eternal life. Not create. No. He had that plan before the world. We was listening to him last night, and Brother Ram was saying, said, if you were never back there, you never will be back there. So, okay. Now, we just have problems the way we get back there. We have all kind of little sayings and things to try to get us there. Well, we've been 50 years trying to get there. Huh? I think it's time to sit down, settle the thing, and see what it is. All right. Adam's soul was not created eternal. He was an impartation of Almighty God into human flesh. What are you? You're an impartation of eternal life. Because it doesn't mean it when it says new creations and all like that. We get those terms in our minds and we keep running around. Yeah, but the new creation had a beginning. The one that I'm talking about had never had no beginning. That's why I was talking about it during the Bible study the other night about it, about Michael. See, Michael was God in another form, called the Word. That's where Satan could never figure that out. Satan was the anointed cherub that stood beside the Lord. If anything was going to be done, God was going to turn to Satan and say, Satan, go do this. We need a world. Create it. And about that time that it gets to, he says, well, I've been around now, this God for a long time, and I kind of know his vibes and his doing. And boy, he's getting revved up. He's getting vibed up. So what's he fixing to do? And about that time, out steps a little pillar of fire, a logos. I'm quoting Brother Branham, okay? And says, steps out. And says, let there be. See, don't misunderstand my terminology. I'm sorry. The Father never created anything. Now, come on, you know what I'm talking about. We'll keep it, we'll run it down into the right line. But who is the Creator? The Son. He was before the foundation of the world with the Father. Who was he? The Son. Not another God. Not God in another form or whatever. That's the best you can do because that's human terminology. That Word that was back there, the Logos, the Theophany, was Almighty God in the form to be used that he could create. Satan looks at that and he says, I don't understand this guy because where'd he come from? Right? You ever thought like that? The devil, he starts getting mad. He gets all upset. Where'd this guy come from? I'm supposed to be doing the creating. I'm supposed to be delivering the Word. Right? But we see we must have a pretty good point lined up anyway. I like it. But see, Adam in his creation was body, spirit, and soul. But then God put his life into Adam and made him a living soul. Right? Eternal life in the soul of Adam. Right? But yet there he stands, his body and spirit. Oh, church. Get it? Can't you see that new birth that you have is God in another form inside of you? Call the alive Word. So God had a plan and a purpose to get himself revealed. But what was he going to reveal himself as being? You realize if he reveals himself as healer, there's got to be something sick. So he's going to have to get that. If he reveals himself as a savior, there's got to be something lost. So all of this happening didn't come forth as a it came forth to manifest itself in the right way. Now, here's my catch. Listen. Why does it say they without us? Now, we'll go it tonight. I know we won't get through, but that's all right. They without us cannot be made perfect. That's an odd statement. So they're depending on us. Oh, no, no. What that means is they without us. That means the Trinity of God is sitting over here somewhere, two or three people floating around. And the time we get all them together, we'll have the us is together. No. I like what old, was it Theo Erasmus preached that time where he took the name Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. He said if it wasn't for us, his name would be Jess. Well, all right. So here we get the man now standing here. Very odd, though. You mean that's what God wants? It evidently is, because that's what he got. Right. Now, I've kept emphasizing that you don't stumble around. He don't stumble around and find out, well, I failed somewhere, so I got to find some other way, and I'll have to run over here and run. No, 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 no. He could stand there and look at Adam and say, there's my child. There's my part of the soul that I am. Dwelling in a man named Adam. But yet he left him with a body and a spirit. In a world of perfection, let's get this right now so we don't play the game of jumping. He was put into a world of perfection. Had he stayed that way, everything had been all right. Okay? I understand that, so don't just jump away. But he said, you know, that's my example child. No, 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 no. Now, Jesus was the example child. Okay, I'll go with you. Back before the foundation of the world, Jesus was that word. I don't have no problem if you don't go that way. We just won't go that way. But you say, well, I don't understand you, Brother Dale. I said, you get started on a message and you just dry us up. I thought the prophet said, questions made a strong church. Oh, but the Bible says questions gender strife. Right? That's the Bible. So now what's Brother Branham talking about? He's talking about the same thing that Peter, which one said it? Unanswered questions is what gender strife. Not answers, unanswered or wrong questions. It's what genders strife. Because you can't put it together. Because your prophet says that it makes a strong church. What? When the church gets the answers. Not when they get, oh, this brother so-and-so, he's preaching that, and I like him, and but I can't understand Brother Dale, but I sure like old brother so-and-so. So when I get through tonight, I go home, I put him in, pluck, and I sit down and listen to him. That's your business. I didn't start this church off of that. And it won't end that way. That's your business. The only thing I ask you to do, give me the opportunity that you give to others when you know they say things wrong. You know they say things that are wrong. And what do you do with their wrong? You say, well, Brother Dale, I can't find you wrong. Okay. That's off the plate. But do you realize, and I'll come back through every bit of this because I know it's going to take it, that God in His creation brought His plan and purpose into being. And He started it with what He wanted it ended as.
Now that Brother Dale. Now, He wants us in eternity.
Come on. You got enough sense and followed me long enough to know to don't stumble off on silly stuff. Listen. God started with a man. His name was Adam. He had a body that was not eternal because there was no way the fall could have come if his body had been eternal. He had a spirit that was not eternal. There's no way for the fall to have come had there been a spirit that had not fallen. You mean that's what he wants? He wants a man that'll believe that God and come to that place. Jesus Christ came to that place. Right? See, Jesus' body wasn't eternal. Jesus' spirit wasn't eternal. It was his soul that was eternal. Okay? Am I right? At least not hoo and holler or scream or do something. If it's right, it's right. So you see, when the point of the creation came on through, we'll follow it. Coming through Enoch that was not. We'll follow those things. We'll come through Elijah that was taken up. We'll come through all of those to show you God can be working there, but there's always a reason that they could not reach what he wanted them to reach. Jesus Christ walked on earth as a man. Right? Soul eternal because he was an impartation of eternal life. He was not a second son. That was when God stepped into his son or his soul, the word, the being. That's why you got one God. Outside of that, you don't have it. You're still tied up in your Trinitarianism. And then you laugh at me. I don't understand what he means when he said Trinitarianism. But you see, what's the point? Adam was God's original plan. And the way he wanted all to come was first made manifest in Adam. Come on. I mean, we stay on here for a while. Adam was God's original plan to take care. But Jesus was God's own son, which is not a son, but God in another form called a son. Right? This is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. So you see what I'm getting at now. And it'll catch you and we'll go for a little bit and stop. See, then, whatever God started with, he's going to have to finish with that. Or else he'll change his mind somewhere along the way. And if you believe that, then he's telling you I don't, so that's all right. I have no control over you, my family. They've got to make their own decisions. They've got to have their own Holy Ghost. They got to be their own people. A wife is the same. See, It was not in Adam a creation, now listen carefully, of eternal life. That was his body and his spirit. It was the impartation into him of the Genesis 1, 26 and 27 man, when it said, let us make man. There he stood. And Brother Branham said Eve was in Adam. So we want to beat Eve to death about everything. Why didn't God, while she was out there doing all that thing, why didn't he just get him something and just go, whammo? I'll take care of that and I'll get another one. Lay down, Adam, or we can get another rib. Not making a joke, it's true. He'd have had to do something. So what happened? He just turned his head where he couldn't see. But I'll be back. When it's time, I'll be back. It'll take me 6,000 years to get back. But I'll have many examples all the way through of this one example that I'm giving. But now here's the catch to the story. Enoch walked off the earth. True. Nobody in the Old Testament had an eternal soul. You say, well, Adam was there. No, that's the one that was the beginning creation. All new beginning creation starts with a full-grown potential. It's the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost was fully come. It had to have a certain amount of doing. When anything like that, it's got to have that to be right. Huh? And when it does, then he stands and looks at his own child. And you remember, a child of God is not another God. He's just God imparted. I like the way Brother Moat used to try to explain eternal life. He said, you think you got eternal life straight. He said, this is the way it sounds to me. He said, you take this big old apple and said, you whack it up and you give it out in pieces. He said, that's the way you got your doctrine. He said, I just remember one thing. When you run out of pieces, you run out of God. Right? Once you give away them pieces, it's all gone. But God ain't that away. The more God gives out, the greater he is. The greater he is, the more he can pass out of himself. But listen, I'm going to say this and then leave it. That's why this age is here to finish up God's original plan. And everything from there back was waiting on something to happen. A bride. Huh? A bride. Adam had one that failed. Jehovah, the Old Testament, had one that failed. I was listening to the prophet the other day, and you could take it and straighten out all these thoughts and ideas people's got. And he said that Adam's bride didn't fall. I said, oh, wait a minute. What are you saying? And boy, it took a while to sit there and think because he'd done told it. He said, because she wasn't in the original part of it. So that's why she couldn't match nothing to put it back. Come on. You'll find out one of these days what serpent seed means. Okay. Adam was God's original plan that he wanted to come forth. He started that out with a man that was body, spirit, and soul. The soul was eternal. The body was in a time element. He could be beaten. He could be all things. His spirit was in another world, but yet he could be tempted in that spirit. Huh? But that soul, you couldn't touch it. Huh? when a bride comes back on earth again, that they can say, I and my Father are one. And let me quote the rest of it. And these other things, the prophet said, it'll all be over. When you see that man that was back there come all the way through and can bring him into being, let him do his works, and then bring him into being in this day, you'll see God's plan. But see, just think about it. Now, let me finish up the message. I'll try to finish the part of God then wants, when he gave you the new birth, that was his plan. But he wants our body and our spirit to come to that position. I mean, everybody ought to know that. We ought to follow that line. Well, see, the only way we can do that is to follow God and his ways. And see what he's talking about and where he's going, what he's leading. Our soul is made eternal by the new birth. But we are waiting the redemption of the body. So now, in reverse order, when you can find it, and you take this man, and you bring him down through time, and you bring him into the New Testament, and he's the second Adam, he's got the original plan. And what he's going to do is wait till that can be made manifest. But it's already here. You realize, Brother Brown said that the baptism of the Holy Ghost you have is the same Holy Ghost that was on the shores of Galilee, same Holy Ghost that created and all of these things. When are we going to realize that? Amen. That he's in our soul. Amen. Yes, but Brother Dale, I can do that if we didn't have any trouble. Now, you're out of the Bible. Okay, solve that. Don't come to me and say nothing like that because you're out of the Bible. See, Satan, in the garden, he looked at Adam. He said, that guy created him. He said, it looks pretty good. Then all at once, here steps into another one in the being, and he said, oh, that's his bride, his wife. He'd done a good job. I couldn't have probably done much better than that myself. Because, see, that's what he wanted. He wanted that thing of right-hand man. I'm illustrating that period to get you to see it. He don't want to be. I have never met a boss of anywhere I worked that wanted to be in charge. He wants the vice president to be in charge, but him get all the pats on the back. Right? See? But all right. See, then, follow this last statement. When this makes a circle and comes back to here, you'll find that everybody in between there, one way or the other, was connected. One way or other, everybody was connected. On the day of Pentecost, what did you have? You had the bride of Jesus Christ with eternal life in their soul. Their body and spirit was still in time. You had the great apostle Paul. And he was looking around that day when he said it. He said, they without us cannot be made perfect. In other words, he plainly saying to them, hey, do you realize I'm talking to you? Without something to happen, without something to take place, without the message that God has given me to bring to you, you can never achieve what you're wanting. They just glory, hallelujah, that's happy. He finally counted it. He said, I just leave you alone. Huh? They without us. In other words, they that started is one form. And the us that we are is one form, called the body. And they're not perfect until we receive. Brother Brown said the Old Testament not perfect without the new. But he said now the New Testament not perfect without the old. Right? All right, because that's what it's got to be. But are you following me? Just think about this until we get back on it. See, Paul was standing there. It's going to hurt. I got on my notes. I said, well, I'm going to say it anyway. Paul was standing there at a place because of his new birth and his adoption and his teachings and things that Adam had lost. You agree with me? If you don't, what did he do? See, he goes about trying his best to get everybody to that place of his message. They're trying their best to get out the message. When you see Adam standing on the earth again in the right way, and I've just preached it to you, so there it is. What is Adam standing on the earth in the right way? Soul eternal, body not eternal, spirit not eternal. So we got to have the adoptions, the different things. And see, I'm going to put it this way. What about when Enoch walked off the earth? Well, boy, he just had so much of God. Amen. Amen. Now, don't misunderstand me. But he never had eternal life in his soul. You say, oh, yes, he did. Now, show me where it's at. When Elijah flew off in the chariots, was it the Holy Ghost in his soul that took him? Or the anointing that was on him? And it was the anointing on Enoch. See, the answer lays within the Word. When we return back to the original faith of the fathers, not just playing and talking about it, but actually being that, then God can come on the scene and do some things. See, Paul stood out there that day and he said, now you Old Testament people, said, without us, you can't be made perfect. But like Brother Dick says, one day he turned around and he was to us and he was in the grave. Well, that's all right. But he set a stage. Don't forget this. Adam set a stage in the garden of what God wants this day. A people that'll do like Abraham and believe the word. And doubt their doubts and get away from their flim-flams and ideas and opinions and things. Get down to the word. The prophet said the bride, he was coming after a word-born bride. He said Christ's ministry would have to be in the church before the rapture. Well, I don't believe that. Okay, you're doubting the prophet. Go ahead. Sorry, you're doubting the prophet. You could at least say what he said. But I just don't believe it. I don't see it. You believe to see or see to believe. Which way is it? All right, come on, musicians. I've reached a place that I believe is what I need for you to think about. Adam was God's example child. God wants every one of his children to be like Adam. No, he wants them to be like Jesus. Well, don't get all exalted in yourself. He wants it to be like what he's made himself in Adam. He gave Adam eternal life. Why did Paul say Christ in you, the hope of glory? Because that's what it is. The eternal life is not just a game or a playing. Eternal life is the Word of God revealed to us. What about it? Let's stand together. Brother Branham, in the message called A Serpent Seed, he said the Bible said that Adam was the Son of God. That pure beginning back there, Adam was God's son. That perfect beginning, pure beginning. Why didn't, let me ask you a question while you're thinking. Why didn't God make Adam just whammo, body, spirit, and soul eternal? He said, well, there was no way to have got the, oh, now you got it. You got it. You know that God was going to allow that to happen. There was no way for it to come forth if he stayed in that perfect position, complete position. And see, you see God coming down through. His next step is Enoch. And Enoch just flies off. But he's waiting on us. Okay. The next one, he's Elijah. He's waiting on us. Well, why is he waiting on us? To become that man. Right there. Right here. Well, I just don't see that can ever be done. You're a doubter. Forgive me, you're a doubter. Well, I don't see it done. I just don't feel it. Why don't you start practicing a little bit? You know, I'd rather have a little wildfire than no fire at all. Is it wrong to clap your hands and sing and worship God? Well, I don't have to be pumped. Well, you don't have to be pumped up. You sure ain't getting pumped now. I mean, we need the pumps and pipe them out because it's not working. Right? I'll clap my own hand at that one. But church, I'm not trying to hinder nobody, hurt nobody, doing, but to get something to you that almost a year ago I started on it and I backed off. Because, see, it puts too much dependence, look like, on us and not on Jesus Christ. But just remember, Adam was the Word. And the Word is Jesus Christ. He was an impartation of God. So is every child. What we got, brother? Go ahead.
Amen. Page 591 in the spiral book, Who I Am. Glorious victory, that day he set me free and made my heart his very throne. My life's no longer
mine. You don't get it,
mine.
Church. I'm not down and out because the devil beat me to death.
Of love
when he's not beating me to death, I'm down and out.
And now I live to praise his name. Oh, who I am, Lord, who I am. I can see now just who I am. I'm a part of my Savior. I'm a part of his Word. It's a revelation of who I am. On Calvary he died to redeem his lost bride, the King of Kings became my Savior. This is God's great mystery of love expressed to me, that Christ and I might be made one. can see now just who I am. I'm a part of my Savior. I'm a part of His Word. It's a revelation of who I am.
Who am I? I'm a child of God. I'm a born-again Christian. God started His plan and His purpose, and He's going to achieve it. Whether we get our part, do what we're supposed to be doing, is up to us on that part. He just makes it available.
I'm a part of His Word.
So we have to make our plans from that. And just let everything go in that order. Father, we thank You for this day, and we ask You to help us as we go home, Lord, be with the people, take care of everything on the highways and things, and Lord, just bless us. Open Thy Word that we may see that truly they are waiting all the way down through the earth for this little bride to reach a place. And just help us in Jesus' name. Let me say this. And I know it's a carnal illustration. I talked to Brother Dean Gibby and Brother Harris and him about it because it kind of interested me about karate. And this was their definition in karate. You got a mentor, a guy that teaches you. All right? But as you train in the karate, you bind an oath of yourself that you never fight your mentor. Now, you know that ain't kept. You know, better than that. I'm just saying the rules of coming in, you're binding never to fight your mentor. You bow out because he taught you what you know. But I also know this, that they didn't know. A real true karate never tells you all he knows. He's always got a little something. A real true preacher don't always tell you everything he knows. He's got some little things along the way that might appear, so watch them. You might see it as it appears among us because it is God and we believe it. You're dismissed. Pray one for another.